The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful to have you with us this morning as we look to God's Word in Psalm 27. We are all too aware that life is filled with all kinds of different disappointments and discouragements. There are all kinds of burdens that we carry through this life. We know that well. Fortunately, that's not all that this life is. There is joy, there is happiness to be found in this life, yet we understand that burden of discouragement and disappointment. And sometimes that comes because of our circumstance. You know, maybe it's a frustration hitting a roadblock on a work project or, you know, working on a school project, and you just kind of keep hitting these dead ends and walls, and you find yourself discouraged, frustrated, all that. We understand circumstance can bring some of those kinds of difficulties our way, yet we know that the deepest wounds and discouragements in this life are often found in our personal relationships. Like, it's in the context of relationship that we find ourselves more vulnerable and open to discouragement and harm. Maybe it's the harmful words of someone that is supposed to care about you. The way that those land is particularly discouraging and hurtful. Maybe it's the sense of loss of a loved one. That loss brings great pain and sorrow to our lives, and rightly so. You know, it's one thing to be at Walmart in the canned food section and to have an acquaintance screaming and yelling at you in obscenities. It's another for somebody who, you know, knows you, loves you, is supposed to be on your side, and they betray you. It's very different experience, isn't it, when someone close to you does something that's so painful and hurtful. And the Psalms are the Bible's prayer book for the church. And they're so helpful for us because they provide a glimpse at the full range of human emotion as we relate to God. It's this reminder as we see everything from joy to disappointment, from sadness to sorrow. When we see that full range of human emotion and experience, it's so helpful for us because it reminds us that God invites us to come near. Like, bring everything that we have, everything that we are, all of those experiences, He's invited us to come near with them. He doesn't ask us to pretend. He doesn't ask us to act as though things are okay when they're not. He's invited us to be honest, open, vulnerable, transparent before Him. And that's good news. It's good news because this series has been all about what does it look like for us to live in relational communion with our God. And what it looks like is that God has invited us to come near in our time of need. In those moments of discouragement, that season of disappointment, whatever it might be, whatever shape and form it might take, the Lord's invited us to come near Him in those moments of need. That we can depend upon Him in every way imaginable. For every aspect of our lives, He's invited us to depend upon Him. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We want to consider this idea of dependent prayer. And what we're going to see is that dependent prayer is born in conversational relationship with our God. That as we walk in conversational relationship with our God, He's invited us to reach out to Him, to depend upon Him in every way imaginable. And that's helpful because we are well aware of the kinds of needs, disappointments, and discouragements that abound in our lives. We have great needs. Look again at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. In this picture, we see a glimpse of the kinds of needs that are in David's life. On the run, hiding out, fearing for his life. This could have happened at any point in David's life because it seems as though he's just constantly in this place of great need, great turmoil. And the Psalms are so realistic about the kinds of discouragements and disappointments that you and I face. That we have these, like our struggle is different than David's, yet it's just as real, isn't it? Our needs are different from David's, and yet they're just as real as the needs that David brings. And so the Psalms remind us that we don't have to pretend as though those needs don't exist. We don't have to run away from them. We don't have to hide them. We don't have to try to take matters into our own hands. And what we're reminded, though, in this psalm and all throughout the scripture is that just because you are in a relational communion with God, it doesn't mean that those difficulties and struggles somehow melt away. It doesn't mean that they disappear, they evaporate, that if you come to Jesus, get your ice cream cone in the back and everything's going to be, you know, all fun and games from here on out. That's not the promise that we have of God. We might think that when we look at verse 2. Like maybe if I'm in the Lord, those difficulties are just going to kind of melt away. And yet we know from the very life of our Savior Jesus that nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus shows us what it looks like to be a faithful man of God who's walking with God in harmony with Him every step of the way, and yet it doesn't end well in human terms, does it? Difficulties, abandonment, betrayal, He understands those things. He's experienced them. And so the promise that we have in the Lord is not that we're going to be safe from difficulties, but that we'll be safe in them. It's not that the Lord's going to kind of take them away from us, but rather the promise is that the Lord will be there with us in the midst of it. Dependent prayer is born in conversational relationship with our God. We have these great needs. We know them. We live them. We experience them every day. But there's this promise that we can be safe, comforted in God's presence. Look again at verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. We can find comfort and safety in God's presence. That's what we see here. I mean, throughout this section, we see the language of relationship, of friendship, of relational communion. When David says he wants to come into the house of the Lord, he wants to inquire in the temple of the Lord, he's using language to remind us of God's presence. He's not primarily thinking about going to a place. I mean, in part we know that because the temple doesn't even exist in David's day. So his point is not about a place. His point's about being in God's presence. And so this language of relationship reminds us that we can draw near to the Lord. And as we draw near to the Lord, as we come into His presence, there is safety and comfort to be found. And we see that language throughout this short little section. That there will be safety as He hides us in His shelter in the day of trouble. There will be safety as He covers us in His tent. There will be safety as He lifts us high, and safety and security in that rock. When He lifts our head above the enemies all around, there is safety and security, comfort to be found in the presence of God, because what matters most can never be taken from us. And that is God's relational presence. Difficulties don't melt away. They might even mount up all the more. But the promise is that in the midst of it, whatever it is, The Lord is near. He promises us himself. And that's good news. So there's comfort and safety to be found in relational communion. He invites us to come near to the Lord. And as we come near to the Lord, he says that he might gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. This is the language of meditation, of contemplation. This is the idea of thinking on who the Lord is in all of his beauty, the beauty of his glory, the beauty of his wisdom, the beauty of his character, the beauty of his grace, his mercy, and his kindness. He says that he wants to draw near to the Lord that he might think upon who he is and what he's like, because in that is great comfort, security in the presence and relationship with the Lord. He's inviting us into this conversational relationship with God. The language of meditation makes us remember that we spend time with the Lord by his word. And what we are doing as we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord is we're thinking on who he is and what he's like. That's what meditation is. It's not standing back trying to master information about the Lord. Rather, it's sitting underneath the leadership of the Lord as we come to his word, allowing the text of God's word to master our hearts. It's bringing the greatness of who our God is, the remembering all that we know of him and pushing it deep within our hearts that it becomes part of us. That's the invitation as we are invited to enter into his relational presence, to think on him. And that's what we need. That's what we need in those times of difficulty, isn't it? When everything is chaotic and swirling around us and we don't know how to, you know, tell up from down, in those kinds of moments, we need something that's there that we've been thinking on. We've been gazing on the beauty of the Lord in such a way that in moments of discouragement and difficulty, we can remember who he is and what he's like. And that's the invitation then that he's given to us to enter into this kind of conversational relationship with him, that we would depend upon him in every way imaginable. And so as we come to God's word then, we need to remember that it is the way in which we converse with him. We hear from him. This is his word. It's not a book that we master the content of. It's his voice that we listen to. And if you want to know, like, what would it look like then to meditate on the beauty of the Lord, I think we could ask some simple questions, like, what does this tell me about the Lord? These verses that I just read, what does it tell me about God? What does it tell me about his character? What does it tell me about his wisdom? What does it tell me about his relationship to me? What does this tell me about the Lord? If we just ask that one simple question, and churned on it, thought on it, chewed on it, we would see that there is this relationship to be had with the Lord by his word. Dependent prayer, it's born in conversational relationship with our God. And so we can enter into his presence and so that we might see him for who he is and then depend upon him in every way imaginable. That's where we're headed now in 7 through 14. We're going to see what dependent prayer looks like as we walk with God in his presence. Look again at verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Though others may reject me, the Lord holds me close. Some of the most difficult experiences that you and I have ever had or ever will have come because of a failed relationship. And here David is reminding us that though others reject us, though others turn their back on us, the Lord will never forsake us. He holds us close. That sense of estrangement from a loved one, that sense of constantly being judged by a certain person or certain crowd of people, that sense of being in this world and feeling completely alone without any friends to turn to or to count on, those sorts of difficult, discouraging experiences are to remind us that while that has happened in our lives, while we have indeed experienced those kinds of hurts and pains, the Lord will never reject us. I mean, so much so that he brings up this hypothetical that my father and my mother, they've rejected me completely. I mean, how much worse does it get than to have the people who are supposed to love you unconditionally turn their back on you? And he says, even though that might happen, the Lord holds us near. There's comfort to be found. There's safety to be experienced. So we can cry out to the Lord in dependent prayer. I mean, that's what we see from David. Hear my cry. Hide not your face from me. Don't withhold your love from me. Don't turn away from me in anger. Don't cast me off. Don't forsake me like others have. We can come to the Lord in those moments of deep need, deep disappointment, deep pain, deep hurt, and know that he will fulfill his promise to be with us in the midst of it. And when we have those kinds of experiences, when relationships seem to be crumbling all around us, and we have that experience of relational difficulty, turmoil, strife, we need verse 11 and 12. We need the Lord to teach us his ways, to lead me on a level path because of my enemies, to give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they breathe out violence against me. We need the Lord in those kinds of moments to teach us and to guide us in our time of need. When we don't know the way forward, we can come to the Lord dependently, asking him to teach us his ways and to guide us forward. I mean, that's the prayer here. He's not praying that the difficulties would be wiped away. He's praying that in the midst of them, that the Lord would guide him, would make a path, that he would know the way forward. I mean, haven't you been there before? Where you're not sure what to do in a moment or a situation? In those kinds of places, he says we can lean upon the Lord dependently, asking him to teach us, to guide us, to guide us through those moments of false accusation. I mean, isn't it bad enough that I know the relational strife I've caused by my own stupidity, but now I have to experience it because of false accusations? Because of gossip? Slander? We've all been the recipient of that, haven't we? And yet he says in these moments, we can lean dependently on the Lord that he will teach us and guide us in those times of need. But he doesn't end there. Like, he ends by giving us this picture and this glimpse of hope. There's confidence to be had in the Lord. Look at how he ends in verse 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. There's a confidence to be had, David says, because of the Lord. And on this side of the cross, we know that the reason we can have confidence that we'll be in God's presence forever and always is because of Jesus. Jesus, we're reminded, is the one who lost it all so that we could gain a relationship with the Lord. Jesus is the one who was rejected that you and I might be accepted. It's because of his life, his death, and his resurrection that it's possible for us to have confidence that we can enter into God's presence and his presence will never leave. And so David says we can have a great confidence, and we know this side of the cross. We know something that David didn't know. We know how sure and how real that promise is that we will experience his presence forever in the land of the living. Why? Because Jesus died a death in our place. And he rose from the grave victorious over Satan, sin, and death, bringing us into his family that we might know him. And so he says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Have strength. Have courage in moments of difficulty and strife, not because of yourself, not because of your own abilities, not because of your strength, your know-how, not because of some sort of internal gumption and fortitude. No, he says, have strength and be courageous because of the Lord. That we can enter into his presence, and we can think on his beauty, the beauty of his glory, the beauty of his wisdom, the beauty of his character, the beauty of his grace. And those things will strengthen us, comfort us as we wait. And so that's what we do every week as we come to the Lord's table. It's an opportunity for us to think on the beauty of our God. To think on all that God has done for us in and through Jesus. It reminds us, like a morning like this, where maybe you're like me and you're being reminded of all the kinds of difficulties and disappointments that you've experienced in recent days and months. It's a reminder of the words of Jesus, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Like as we approach the Lord's table, that's Jesus' invitation to you and to me. Are you weary? Are you burdened? And he says, come. And for some, that might mean come for the very first time. Trust him by faith. Invite him in. Invite him to come near that you might enter into his presence, that you might know our God. And for those of us who have trusted in the Lord, who've given our lives over to him, then this is still the invitation to come. Jesus is the only one who's going to provide us rest. And I spend most of my week not believing that is true. And so then in this moment, we have an opportunity to remind ourselves of what's real, what's true, what's genuine. And so he says, come. So as you come forward, you can take one of those wafers and take the little cup of juice, and it's a reminder that Jesus' body was broken for you and his blood was shed for you. And he's invited you in. And that's all been an act of his love, his grace, and his kindness. And so as we come forward, we do so by faith. Like I come and I receive those elements. I don't take them, I receive them. Jesus is a gift to you and to me. He's not a paycheck that we earned, but he's a gift that we receive. And we receive it by faith. So in this moment, my hope is that you might pause, that I might pause, and I might think on the beauty of our God. And then to come forward as an act of faith, trusting him at his word, remembering that dependent prayer is born in conversational relationship with our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We want to be reminded in this moment of your beauty, your glory, your wisdom, your grace, kindness, your character. God, you have been so kind and patient toward us. In this moment, might we reflect on your beauty and your greatness. Help us to experience your kindness in a fresh way. Help us to worship Jesus for all that he is. And it's in his name that we pray these things. Amen.